we supposed to get married?
I'm going
to
just swipe
left. I just want somebody to share my life with.
You can keep waiting for the fairy tale, or you can get on board with the new rules of relationships. If you've read my advice in the LA Times, then you know this ain't your mama's love advice. This is Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman. Hello, lovers. Welcome to Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman, presented by TextNow, the app that gives you a free second phone number just for dating. If the match turns out to be a dud, you can just think and release, and now they aren't blowing up your phone. So I've noticed a trend among my listeners. People who listen to this podcast tend to be booked and busy. And I'm so proud of all of you and everything you have going on, whether that's owning your own business, juggling a career, getting your education. You know what you're doing. You're making moves. We're all out here striving and thriving in different ways. So I thought today I would address how to date when you are also focused on another big goal, whether that be with school, building your career, launching a business, whatever it is, I'm here to support you on your journey to find love. I'm talking to Jordana Abraham, co-founder of a multimedia brand called Betches and host of the podcast You Up. She's also a recent Forbes 30 Under 30 entrepreneur, and she'll talk about how she built her brand and met her man at the same time. So stay tuned for that. But first, you know, there's always something going on in the news, like The Bachelor proves again that it's really bad at matchmaking. Don't come for me, Bachelor Nation. And how Tinder is making dating apps safer. What? Plus, we'll answer your questions in Dear Damona, like size queens want to know how and when to bring up more sexually evolved topics and how to shoot your shot and make that first move. All that and more on today's Dates and Mates. Now it's time for the dish.
D's dating dish.
Bachelor Nation, I need to talk to you for a minute. Listen, my phone was blowing up with all these messages about Matt James and Rachel and what happened and the antebellum party. And let's just agree on something, okay? They've had how many seasons? 25 seasons to get it right. And The Bachelor is still failing the diversity game. That is obvious, okay? Let's set that aside. Let's get into the matchmaking element, because we just get so caught up in the fantasy of wanting this to be real love. And I just, having worked on a couple of reality shows, I just need to put you in the mindset of what the contestants are going through. Just getting on The Bachelor is, of course, a huge feat for a lot of people who are trying to, I don't know, launch their major social media careers or hosting careers, apparently. And once you cross that line and you're in the house and you're having these conversations and you're in the pressure cooker and you know that the goal is just get that rose, get that final rose, you put everything aside. And the same thing happens when you are the bachelor and you're in this place where everybody is hanging on your every word. Everybody wants to be the one that gets chose by you. And the whole situation is a great big fantasy upon a fantasy. And that's why people love it. But the problem is that, one, it's all happening very, very fast. And you know that I'm a big proponent of slow love. That it really takes time. It takes time and it takes space in between interactions to get the courage to be yourself around someone and get to know someone on a deeper level. And how the heck are you going to have the courage to get to know someone if there are cameras in your face staring you down all the time? So what happened, for those who don't follow The Bachelor, is the person who Matt James, The Bachelor, chose in the end, Rachel Kirkconnell, had a few photos pop out of the woodwork of her at an antebellum themed party that she didn't realize was somehow connected to race. And I think it's really amusing when people try to extricate American history and racism, because those two things are undeniably and forever linked. But she didn't really see the issue with that. She didn't really see the issue with liking photos that were racially charged. And after the season of The Bachelor, they ultimately did break up because there was this big gap between them and Matt realized that she didn't even see the issue with what she had posted and what she had interacted with. And that just brings me back to this point of The Bachelor is a fantasy. They don't really know each other. And especially when we're getting into interracial relationships, which, you know, we covered extensively in last week's episode. But these are really important value-based conversations that are not happening. Interestingly, he would have race conversations with the black women on the show, but not with the white women. So it blows my mind that no topic around race ever came up. But at the same time, I do understand it because I see that sometimes in interracial relationships, we are afraid to ask the tougher questions because we are afraid of the answer that we might get back. And I think he might have known that the answer that he would have gotten didn't align with the fantasy that he was living in. And also, I'm sure that Rachel didn't want to bring up the conversation around race because, one, it might get her eliminated. And that's the ultimate goal, right? It's not love. It's making it to the end and getting that final rose or that proposal. And we know from the stats on how many of the people who actually get engaged on The Bachelor actually get married and are still together. Not high, my friends. And she wouldn't have asked these questions because they may have either revealed a side of her that she thought might not be flattering or that it might have knocked her out of the running for that final rose. So we are just living in this fantasy world of pretense upon pretense of superficial conversation upon superficial conversation. And then so much of America is putting their hearts and souls into the outcome of these ABC network made matches. And we have to remember, folks, it's not real. It's not real. And it's not what you should be striving for in your relationship. You should not want to get engaged after a few months. You should want to have a deep level of understanding with your partner. You should want to have deep conversations about race and culture and religion and your goals for the future and how you would raise your kids. He even brought up on an interview that he couldn't see raising kids with her in the context of what she said. And I was like, well, duh. Well, you should have been talking about that before. He didn't propose to her in the end of the season, but, you know, there's a promise that the relationship is going to continue if you give out your final rose. So it does bring very important issues to the surface. And I'm glad that ABC is giving us the opportunity to have these conversations. But I think it's a reminder that ABC can do better and we all can be more successful in love if we open up to some of these very charged and sensitive topics that are ultimately extremely important in finding a partner who with whom you are aligned for the future. Next topic comes to us from Tinder. Turns out they are working on a way to make the app safer. They are investing in a background check nonprofit called Garbo that will integrate a background check feature into the app. First, I just have to tell y'all, you know, I've been in this game for a minute with the dating apps, and I actually worked with a background check app many, many years ago. I want to say maybe 7 years ago. And I was like, what y'all need to do is get integrated with the dating app so that people can use this service and it's seamlessly a part of their online dating experience. And that didn't happen, but glad to see it's happening now because I do think online dating safety is important. However, you know, I'm always going to take things in a different direction on this show. However, I feel that safety is important, but really, you are honestly more likely to get hurt by factors that will not show up in a background check, by people who are not in alignment with your goals, like we talked about a moment ago, by people who are using photos that are not accurate, by people that are catfishing, by people who are afraid to really be themselves, by people who are dating multiple people. And those things are not likely to show up in a background check. And when you look at, yes, dating fraud is on the rise, and we see all these headlines about dating fraud, But it's really not the big problem we make it out to me, because the rise in dating fraud isn't actually even proportional to the rise in online dating that we've seen over the last few years. But there is a big epidemic, a big rise in people hiding their true selves, their true images, their true goals, their true intentions. And so while Pew Research Center did find that 60% of female users younger than 35 said that someone on a dating service continued to contact them even though they weren't interested, and about the same number of people reported being sent a sexually explicit message or image that they didn't ask for, this is not a new problem. This is just a new medium. And people like to assign the responsibility to the dating app or assign the behavior to the dating app. But the problem is actually in the dating behavior itself. I can tell you many times prior to dating apps where I have clients that would give out their number and somebody would continue to call them even though they didn't want to date them anymore. Or they would get asked at the bar for their phone number and they didn't want to give it out. That's why we gave out those fake numbers. Or a woman that had someone expose themselves to them. This is not a new problem. It's just a new delivery system, a new medium. So I want to remind you that dating apps take your safety and security very seriously. I think because we are so used to these kind of unwanted advances, both online and off, sometimes people just go, ew, gross, and delete. But I want you to make sure that you are also reporting that behavior to the site, because they have more information about that user. They have their IP address. They have a way to continue to block that person so that they cannot do that to someone else in the future. And then we got to get to the core of this problem of why in dating culture anyone believes that it is okay to send someone a sexually explicit message or image that they didn't ask for. That is the frickin' problem. The dating app is not the problem. It's just the delivery system. So let's have some conversations about that. Let's keep educating mostly men. Sorry, guys, but it's mostly men. I think only 8% of women send sexually explicit images on dating apps. So let's talk to our guys. And guys, if you're listening to me right now, nobody wants the dick pics. I'm just gonna put it out there. No one wants the dick pics, especially if they did not request them. So let's put an end to that behavior and let's continue to report. And if you are uncomfortable with meeting up with someone, go ahead and use the background check, but just know that it's only going to show you limited information if that person has a criminal history. So let's not rest on our laurels and let that be a false sense of security. You still have to do the screening to make sure that someone is in alignment with your goals and someone is who they say they are and somebody is really ultimately right for you and worth you investing your time in. When we come back, we're talking about dating and finding love when you are short on time and big on ambitions with Jordana Abraham. Just a reminder, we are accepting new friends with benefits into our circle. If you love this show and you want more and you want to join me for some live streams and lots of other goodies, check us out at patreon.com/datesandmates. I'd love to welcome you into the club. We'll be right back. We're back, and I'm here with Jordana Abraham. She is one of the co-founders of Betches, a multi-platform entertainment and media company for which she's been recognized on Forbes 30 Under 30. You've probably seen her IG account, Betches, which has a cool 7.1 million followers, and she is the host of the hit podcast, You Up. Today, we're talking about how to date and take care of your personal business when you're busy being a boss. Please help me give big smooches to Jordana Abraham.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so virtually excited. Well, yes, like yes, everyone these days. But I'm so excited to have you. Obviously, Betches is huge. You Up is huge. And you have been in this space helping people navigate finding love in the modern world for a long time. So we're going to get down to brass tacks. What have you seen? First of all, the pandemic's like the biggest character in our current stories and yeah, for everyone. What have you seen from your vantage point about how has COVID really affected your listeners and your in your readers on their quest to find love today.
Totally. So I think you see with COVID, there's a lot of, it's either like a relationship accelerator or it's, you know, it ends a relationship faster than than might have happened in the past, which I think is a good thing because you get to find out a lot more information about someone sooner. And I think it's interesting because like everyone has their own rules for the pandemic, for what they will do and what they won't do and what they think is right. And I think we've seen a lot of people in dating, they're dating someone with a different bar for, let's say, safety or how risky they're willing to be. And it's a lot of questions around navigating, like how to gauge that in someone. We had a lot of questions about people, you know, obviously there are people who feel lonely and people, but still would rather not date at all than date virtually because it just doesn't feel comfortable to them. So there's some people who are doing that, but then I think there's another subset of people that actually really like dating via FaceTime or getting to know someone offline before meeting in person. I think it's really just changed the way that some people approach the possibilities with dating, which I think is a good thing. I mean, obviously there's like two sides to every coin for this kind of situation, but I think for some people it actually has worked out well for them. And I think they've gotten to know people faster than they would have before this all happened.
Yeah. But what about specifically, I know you speak to a lot of like, you know, boss babes and other entrepreneuresses like you and I, and I feel like the journey to find love is different when you're also like building your own thing, when you have something that you are so invested in. And, you know, I'm just imagining that you should probably tell me what your experience has been in building a, you know, multimedia brand. I imagine that finding love kind of, it's hard to focus on two things at the same time.
For me specifically, both were always a priority for me. And it was hard to know where to like put my attention most because you want to like, you know, your business is like your baby. You want to be like nurturing it and putting all your time into it. But then you also have this other side of you, especially as we're building this business in our 20s, that's like, I don't want to miss out on dating and, you know, finding a partner and, you know, having children one day. Like, I don't want to be, there was a balance of like, I don't want to be so focused on the career that I leave this aspect out of the way. And for me also in particular, I've always been kind of an anxious dater. I've always been like, you know, had anxiety around that as well. So I do think almost like it was hard to, it's almost like once I sort of figured out my love life, it was easier to focus more on the business because I wasn't so distracted by that. It wasn't something that was filling my head with so much anxiety and taking up so much of my thoughts that I couldn't like fully focus on the business. And I feel like now that I'm in more of a stable, healthy relationship, I'm able to like put more energy into work.
When you say you are an anxious dater, unpack that for me a little bit. Like how did that actually show up for you?
All of my headspace was constantly, when I was dating, was very much around like, you know, is he going to text me back? It was hard for me to focus at work if I had gone on a date with someone and then the next day I wasn't sure if they were going to text me, or if, you know, if I was seeing someone and they were like, they were withdrawing a little bit, I would get very anxious. And again, I wouldn't be able to focus on anything else. So it was always something, I would always have just this fear of like that I was doing it wrong or that I wasn't doing it correctly or that I was, you know, making the wrong move, texting someone too soon. All those little things would give me so much anxiety that it was hard to like really put all of my energy and focus into building this business at times because I was really distracted.
Mm-hmm. How did you deal with that?
Saw a therapist. That definitely helped.
That does help sometimes. Yes.
Yeah. I think part of it was like seeing someone professional and then also kind of like taking a lot of that pain and anxiety and putting it into building it into Betches in terms of like creating this podcast, which I think really stemmed and came out of this like preoccupation. Some might say an overly preoccupied, with the ins and outs of dating and wanting to make sure I did it right. Having this podcast was a great outlet to both build the business and get out those anxieties. So in that way, it was like really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do hear that from a lot of our listeners that the anxiety that comes with finding the right person and whether you're making the right decisions, it can become really overwhelming and all encompassing. And I've been getting asked, especially in the midst of the pandemic, for a lot of tips, in addition to therapy, which I'm also a huge fan of, for just self-care rituals or like ways to channel that. So you would say having a creative outlet maybe is one thing, or channeling that into work. Are there any other practices that you do on a daily basis or that you would recommend for people to balance out that anxious feeling right now?
I would say whenever I'm like feeling that intense anxiety, that might also lead me to like act irrationally or lash out or do something that doesn't bring out the best side of me, I try to just take a step back from it and remind myself of the reasons that I might be acting like that and why it might not be based in like reality. So if I'm getting really worked up over something because it's a trigger point for me, then maybe I have to like take a step back, and then I can sort of go back to the situation with a little bit of clarity and just like taking a moment to stop whatever train you're going on to think about why you're doing something has really helped.
Well, it's worked out okay for you. I hear you have news in the last few months about your love life.
I was like, what is my news? No, I got engaged back in August, which was really exciting. It also helped relieve, I would say, a lot of my dating anxiety and has helped me channel again more into work to bring it back to that. It's funny, like the shift in that and the stability of that, or just the stability of like feeling like I have to think and worry about it less, has definitely helped me channel more energy into work.
Yeah. So for the people listening who are really committed to their work, whether they're an entrepreneur and doing their own thing or working at a company that requires a lot of them, my philosophy has always been that you take those skills with you, that who you are at work is who you are at home and who you are in your relationship. And I think there's some advice out there that will guide specifically women to be a little bit less of that, like be a little bit less of boss babe so that you can be dateable, so that you can attract a man because he's not looking to be with somebody who's not looking to date another man, you know? So I kind of take issue with that advice. And I think that there are so many elements of successful women that are attractive to men. And I'd love to know your take and what you've seen in your experience and on the podcast.
It seems like we're given mixed messages in terms of like, you know, when you're dating, let them come to you. Don't be, you know, aggressive. Don't seem like you're too interested. But like, and with work, you have to go for it. Go get it. Do you know what I mean? It always did seem like you had to have these two different personalities. But I agree with you. I don't think that that's true, really. I don't think that that's helpful. And I think that in both scenarios of both dating and with work, it's about finding the right match, whether that's with partners or deals or anything you're working on, something that fits who you are authentically. And I think a lot of the time, and I used to do this too in dating, was I would try to be a person that the person I was seeing would like. I would try to like mold myself to be, you know, to fit their standard, when really it's about you creating your own standard and seeing who's a match for you. Not that anyone's good or bad, but just like who's a match. And I think the longer that you try to be that submissive person, or that person who's like waiting for things to happen to them in the dating sphere, you really miss out. You're wasting your own time, actually, because you're dating people who aren't right for you, and you don't have the chance to really see if you're a match because you're not really being your authentic selves. And I think that that's true with work too. It's like, you can't be a company that fits everyone, that everyone loves. You're going to find other people to work with that are a match for you. And if they're not, then it's just not a match. It would be wasting both of your time and whoever you're working with's time to pretend it would be.
Yeah. And if you're contorting yourself into some vision of what is dateable, mm-hmm. or what is acceptable to that person, I think you also can't really trust that what you're getting back is real, because are they into you, the real you, or are they into this fantasy version of you that you are
totally
changing yourself into?
Yeah, and you can't keep that up for that long.
True. That's so true. Yeah, and I feel like sometimes it feels more, I don't know, at the beginning, it feels like it's working, and then you get a different kind of interaction than you're used to getting. And so then you lean into that, and then there is inevitably a point where you wake up and you're like, wait, this is not me. Or where you become your true self, and then the person is like, wait, I didn't know that this is who I was with.
Right. So it's like you do all this work trying to pretend to be someone else, and then eventually you become your true self shows, and like you just wasted all that time with someone who will like this other version of you, which wasn't real.
So what about when you are building something big, like mm-hmm. Betches, and I mean, how has it shown up for you, if you don't mind me asking, mm-hmm. in your relationship, like being a powerful, successful woman, how does that show up for your fiance? Is that something that like you ever have to talk about, how to, like, do you have to navigate that with him, or is that something that he's always been attracted to in you? Like, what does that look like in your world?
I think it's one of his favorite things about me is that, you know, I built this thing and that I, you know, run this business. And I think the only negative way it might have shown up is like, I think I've always been very independent and very much like self-sufficient. So it can be hard to sort of like let someone take care of you if you're like, I'm the person who always takes care of things. So then I think that's almost where the rift comes in, where it's like people want to do things for you. People want to help you. If they're in a relationship, like that's part about like being in a loving relationship, is like allowing someone to do things for you. And I think when you're building a business, it can make you so independent that you're like, I'm not going to accept this, because like then it's taking away some of my independence. So almost like too fierce of an independent thought process.
Yeah. And sometimes I think it's also just unconscious. You're just so used to operating in that mode that it's almost like you don't know how to shut that off, because you're so used to always getting it done and always taking care of it. I will say, in my own relationship, I am also, you know, the kind of I am the type A person in my relationship, and I find that my husband actually likes that I'm the person that gets things done. And it's almost like you have to define in the context of your own relationship what roles you're going to play, because he has no interest in booking things or making plans or like dealing with business stuff. Like, he doesn't want to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I it's funny, because like I think he likes that too, but then sometimes it's almost on me, because I'm like, well, I want to be, you know, I want you to plan this just to show me that like you care. But then it's like, I don't want you to plan it like that. Like, I, like, do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's like that, holding something so close that you're like, you're
right.
Like, no,
I want you to do it, but not if it's going to be on exactly how I envisioned it.
Right. Yeah. So I've just come to the point. I mean, I've been with my husband for a very long time. So we've come to the point, 17 years, if you can.
Oh, wow. Congrats. Yes. That's impressive.
Girl, seriously, thank you. And in Hollywood years, that's like 250. And yeah, it's like when we got to the point of just like, you're gonna want to do those things, I want to plan those things, and I know generally if I open the door for him to plan, I'm not going to be happy with the result. So the more transparent we can be and just like, look, you don't want to plan this anyway. You don't want to plan it and have me be upset. Let me just plan it. And then once we could just let go of those expectations, because they weren't even ours, I really believe in building the relationship that you want. And I have clients that come to me and they're like, I want a traditional relationship. And I'm like, I can't understand how or why, but like, let's find that for you,
right.
Because that's how you want to build the life that's the life that you're trying to build. But we met back in the Middle Ages of online dating. And I feel like there's been so much change in the way people are viewing online dating. What do you feel about online dating, is it a necessary, I don't want to say evil, is it a necessary tool in today's dating world?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like with anything else. It can be, I think it's one of the greatest things and the worst things at the same time. You think about how dating used to be. And I mean, the positive is you get so many choices. There's so many options, especially if you're someone who doesn't like, doesn't necessarily like go to bars or go out or have a lot of organic places to meet people. Like, what a miracle to be able to be on your phone and meet someone from like the comfort of your couch, especially where we are in the pandemic. I think it's amazing. I understand the other side too, of like this feeling of, you know, there's too many options. I might feel disposable. I might feel like, you know, everyone's always looking for the next best thing, especially in like a large city like New York or LA, where there's so many people, where it can feel like, are these stopping us from really investing in these relationships? But then whenever I think about that, I also think about like my grandmother or my great grandmother, the story my grandmother would tell about her mother and how, you know, she was like in a shtetl and in Poland, and her father said to her, well, you're going to marry Hyman. And she said, well, I don't want to marry Hyman. And he said, well, you have two choices. You can marry Hyman or you can drown yourself in the river. So it's kind of like, do you know what I mean? That was the, like, that's pre-dating app. That's like a whole different scenario. Like, was that better? I think for women, it's a lot more empowering to have choices. So I think like everything else, like every good thing has its negative side, but overall, I think they're very positive.
Thank you for saying that. And in such a visual story.
Sorry.
No, but like to bring, because I say that, I think this is the best time ever in history for a woman to be single. But to really crystallize it with that story is like, these are your options. This, your option is this or nothing. Right. Bye-bye. It really does kind of remind us of just how much choice and just how much opportunity we do have, depending on, you know, the way we approach it and our mindset. What are some other ways, though, that you think, I mean, I'm not, just listeners, just so you know, I'm not accepting the I don't want to meet my person online and that's not the story that I want to tell. That line of thinking is not here. However, we have the ability to talk to Jordana, and she might have some other ideas of additional ways in addition to your dating app, which you must be on, to find someone in today's world. I've talked a little bit about using social media as a dating app and that there is the possibility for that. I feel like it's a lot of work, but it could happen. You've built a social media brand. What do you think?
I think it's possible. I think they say Instagram is like the unofficial date, is an unofficial dating app as well. I think that I've heard a lot of stories of that working out. I think it's similar to dating apps in that you're making like a quick judgment based on someone that, you know, the way that they want to show themselves, not necessarily who they are. But I think that's a great way to meet someone. It's kind of like, the stakes are very low. The worst thing that could happen is they're not interested. I would say, I think what I've seen most successfully is sort of tell, if you're single and you're looking for a relationship, tell everyone you know and be fun when you're around them. And I think people will be like excited to set you up, because that I think it's almost like combining the world that we're in now with like the old school style of like the small, those smaller villages and communities where everyone knew each other. It's comforting in a way. It's limiting, but it's comforting. But I think if you're opposed to the dating apps, I think if you're asking to be set up, if you tell people that you know that you're looking to be in a relationship, they'll think of you and they'll use their own networks. People love to help set people. I personally love to help set people up. So I think especially if you can't really be going to events or doing things out in the world at this point, just telling people that you know and seeing if they have anyone to set you up with is a great option.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think a lot of people forget that. But y'all, be specific. Right. I've seen a lot of bad stuff.
Someone who knows you. Do you know what I mean? Like, not everyone is good at setting people up, but everyone has like a friend or, you know, a few of them, a friend who knows them and knows someone they would be good for them. Or they're dating someone who knows someone who would be good for them. You know, it's a numbers game too. I think it's just like important to just be open to experiences and be positive.
That is such a good point, like to be open to experiences. And also, because we are locked down right now, there are still activities happening online. There are still communities being built that you can engage with. So I think it does take a little bit more effort. You can't just like casually walk into a bar. Maybe you can.
Right. Maybe some places can in a few in America. Maybe.
Well, good point. Good point. But it's it. I think we forget sometimes, like the fact that we even have the ability to still talk to people, like, you know, thinking back to your grandmother in the shtetl, like, yeah, she was in a pandemic, she would truly be isolated, but we do have that ability to still connect if we.
Right. I think it's kind of amazing. Even if, think about it, if this pandemic even happened 10 years ago, would you wouldn't be able to really like FaceTime. We wouldn't be able to be on this podcast virtually with each other. Like, it is a good time to be looking.
Yes, I think so. Okay, last question. Since you have a male co-host on You Up, I'm curious to know if there are things that you've learned from him, if there are new perspectives you've gained from having having a guy, the voice of a guy in your ear all this time, commenting on dating and giving a different angle on the questions that have come in.
Oh, totally. I mean, I think that's been the best part. It's been the most eye-opening part of just thinking, because like, I think everything when I was dating or single, it felt so personal, and it felt so like any rejection was a rejection of me. And I think what I've learned, like the greatest thing I've learned from co-hosting with Jared, is that it's really just like, a lot of the time it's about timing. It's a lot of the time it's about the match. And a lot of times it has absolutely nothing to do with you. Like, if you're ghosted, that's really about that person. That's not about you. And just like sort of the mindset around, I think, the different ways that men and women often approach dating. That's not to say everyone, but a lot of the time there's like, they're just looking at like they're looking at the scenarios so differently, and they're looking to get different things out of it, that it's not anything that you did wrong. It's just that it's like not the match, or the person is just not looking for that kind of relationship often.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think we lose sight of that sometimes, because it can feel like, oh, if I send this message and it's not returned, it's about me. But I always say it's a rejection of the situation. It's not a rejection of you.
It's so much better to ask, again, to like, yeah, save your time. Like, I think so much is like waiting, you know, to be pursued, or you don't want to ask for what you want because you're like, it should just come to me. And I think with business and with relationships, it's so important to set your standards, say what you want. And then anyone who's not interested in meeting them, you'll know much quicker.
That's exactly it. I think that is the perfect place to leave this conversation. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your insights with us.
Thank you so much.
Y'all need to check out her podcast, You Up, and also follow Betches on Instagram, or check out Betches.com, where you can get lots of info on how to live your best life and a few laughs at the same time. We'll be back with your questions in just a moment. Y'all are blowing up my inbox, and I am loving every minute of it. It is time for me to answer your questions in the next segment.
Dear Damona.
Damona, help me.
This first question comes to me in a voicemail.
Hi, Damona. Good morning. My name is Marianne. I live in Los Angeles. I'm a 44-year-old independent mother of a teenager, business owner, spiritually evolved, definitely knows what I'm looking for and putting myself out there and with an open heart. But here is my question. So I have a penis size requirement. You have to be a particular size to ride this ride. And I don't know if I'm necessarily a size queen, but I've had a baby. That's pretty large. So it needs to be like, I don't know if I need to say the number, but a little larger than maybe the average. So how do I even bring that up in a conversation? I never have. I think I did once and it did not go well. So what happens is I date them for a little bit. You know, we play the doctor and show each other our private parts. And then I kind of know, because I am a 44-year-old woman, if it's going to work or not. So how do I broach that? Or do I just keep looking and checking out the package? And then also, being sexually evolve. I do like to invite people into my play, sex play. And then how do I bring that up and when? You know, I definitely would prefer to be in a committed, loving relationship where it feels safe and trusting to do that with my partner. So a little food for thought that because this is all new and I am now embracing my very, all of my stuff, all of me. And I just want someone else to also, let me know your thoughts. Thanks, love. Bye.
Well, we are coming in hot with the Dear Damona questions today. Marianne, first of all, kudos to you. I love a woman who knows what she wants, knows who she is, and also isn't afraid to have a little fun. So good on you for that. What I will say is I am not a sexpert, okay? I've had the wonderful Emily Morse on the show before. I highly recommend going back and listening to her episode. She's the host of Sex with Emily. So this is not my particular area of expertise. But what I will tell you is that I have seen a lot of people work things out that seemed on the surface as unworkable sexually. And it does require sometimes some intervention, sometimes some new ideas on positions, maybe even the introduction of toys. Sounds like you know a little bit about that already. But I actually personally do not believe in complete sexual incompatibility. I believe that most sexual problems can be improved. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to have the most exciting sex of your life, but you have to sort of prioritize that in terms of ultimately what you need. And sometimes you might be able to find somebody who is an amazing partner for you that still leaves a little bit to be desired sexually. And that is allowing some people today to open up their relationship if your partner is open to that for other sexual partners. I'm hearing this a lot more, folks, and from some people that I didn't expect it from. So that is an option for you too. But I wouldn't necessarily get caught up on size. You may have heard the phrase, it ain't all about the size of the boat. It's the motion in the ocean. And I do believe it is the motion in the ocean. And that when you get to know someone and trust someone on a deep level, as you've probably experienced, it sounds like you are able to explore other things that may be turn-ons for you. And I've seen people that are just in it for the sexual relationship. And because you're not trying to build something deeper, you can just say whatever you want sexually. But if you're trying to do both, I usually find that that takes some time to unfold. So in the meantime, do your Kegels, okay? Also, maybe talk to a sexologist. Since you're in LA, I just heard about a new clinic that my friend is the chief medical officer at. The clinic's called Les Menus, and it's a women's sexual wellness platform. They told me that 62% of women are unsatisfied with their sex life, and 43% experience problems with libido, arousal, orgasm. So you're not alone in needing to find a good fit, pun intended. But some of their practitioners or other practitioners may be able to also help you find a fit with somebody that isn't necessarily what you are thinking that you need in terms of size. So check them out, lesmenus.com. Well, I'll put the link in the show notes. But the great thing here is that you have clarity on what you want and you are putting your sexual satisfaction first in the relationship, which I think is an excellent way to make sure that you are getting your needs met also on other levels. Our next email comes to us from Rivka, and she says, hey, Damona, I've been following you since you were on Black Love TV show. I'm nervous about shooting my shot at this guy. In your opinion, what would be the best way I should do this? And what should I say? My options are IG or text. I love this question. And you probably know if you watched me on hashtag Black Love that I am for ladies taking the reins. So I think it's great if you are willing to shoot your shot. It is best to use the method of communication that brings you closest together. And so IG, that is assuming it's a public IG, that is kind of something that anyone could do. If you have his phone number, then you should definitely use text. But I do encourage you to be careful over text because, as you know from listening to this show, there's a lot of room for misinterpretation. And you want to have clarity if you're willing to open up and be brave with this guy. You've got to know where it's headed. You don't want to be wasting your time in any friend zone situationships, right? So I would see if you have a relationship with this person, you have a connection, to see if you can either talk to that person on the phone, over Zoom, have some sort of more intimate connection to be able to say, you know, it'd be really great if we could see each other offline. And I don't know that you need to be so pointed in like, I would like to ask you for a date. So when I say specific, I'm saying let it be known that it's not a hangout. It's not, hey, can we hang out? That's the cop out that a lot of people go to, especially if they text. They're like, oh, do you want to hang out sometime? That is gray zone, friend zone for sure. If you are more clear of like just the two of us, if this person is part of your friend circle, say, like, I'd love to hang out, just you and me. That also can send the message that, oh, wait, this is different than how we usually interact. If this is a totally cold shot in the dark, then I think you do need to tread a little bit more lightly. So my formula on dating apps actually can be applied here too. It's a comment plus a question. So you want to get a warm lead. You want to reach out and see if you get any interaction from him back first before you just say like, hey, I'm into you. So you can say, oh, I really loved your post on IG. And remember, you're doing this on a text. If you take it off of IG, that makes it the next level of intimacy. Now, don't do that, though, if you don't know this person and it's just like their phone number is on their IG. That would be weird. Then you want to stay on IG. But if you've gotten their phone number, you comment on something you saw or something that relates to the two of you, and then you follow it up with a question, ideally not a yes or no question, but something that gets him to engage on a deeper level. And then you're jump started into the conversation. You want to have about three exchanges going back and forth, building a rapport before you sort of escalate things to the next level. But I wish you lots of luck. I love it when ladies are brave. I'll shout out my friend with benefit, Christopher. Well, not my friend with benefit, but, you know, my Patreon friend with benefit. Christopher just said on our live stream last week that he loves it when women make the first move. He's like, woohoo. He posts a bunch of emojis. He's very excited. So, you know, go for it. If you are into it, go for it. It shortcuts a lot of this back and forth dance and will save you a lot of time in the end. I hope you enjoyed episode 353 of Dates and Mates. Don't forget to check out the episode recap at datesandmates.com, where we put all the links to the Dating Dish stories and the offers from our show sponsors. And if you're having trouble getting your dating profile polished and dusted for spring love season, let me help you out. I have a free profile starter kit that's right there at datesandmates.com. I encourage you to check that out. And I want to hear your questions. I want to include your question in the next Dear Damona. So hit me up at Damona Hoffman on all the socials. I love to get your voice memo DMs, especially. And you can also leave me a voicemail at 424-246-6255 or email me through datesandmates.com contact page. And your question could end up on a future episode. If you want to become one of my friends with benefits, join the club. It's at patreon.com/datesandmates. I'll be back again next week with one of my absolute faves. He is one of my fellow Date Lab matchmakers and writers for the Washington Post. He also is one of the co-writers of Slate's very popular love advice column, How to Do It, Rich Juzwiak. He will be with me next week, and I cannot wait. Until then, I wish you happy dating.